You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
There are a lot of power struggles, both within the framework of local congregations and ministries and networks. I've been party to a few myself. So today, I thought that I would concentrate upon a leader deliberately limiting their legitimate authority within the framework of their ministry relationships. So we'll take a look at commands and suggestions and appeals. We're going to look at apostolic authority because within the framework of the New Testament, that's where we find most of the writing. It's like from an apostle to people. It's generally not speaking of those who are local elders relating to the people who are in their care. But we do have letters from Paul and letters from John, and let's take a look at this letter from Paul to an individual. We're going to take a look at some verses in Philemon. Paul wrote in verses 8 through 11, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence, I have enough freedom to speak frankly, I have enough confidence in the Messiah to order, to command you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Messiah Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." I don't want to get into the various word plays that are being used in this. It's not relevant. The thing which is relevant to what I want to speak about is the word order. I have enough boldness, I have enough confidence, I have enough freedom to speak frankly in the Messiah to order you, to command you. The word order is translated from epitasso, and that word is used to describe a command to something which must obey. In the Gospels, Jesus commanded the elements in Luke 8, verse 25. In Mark chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 9, verse 25, Jesus commanded demons. In Mark 6, verse 39, he commanded crowds. And he also used the word in a parable to describe a master-to-slave type of relationship in Luke chapter 14, verse 22. That's the word for order. The nature of epitasso, of this word order or command, can be seen in Herod's command to behead John the Baptist in Mark 6, verse 27, or in the high priest ordering Paul to be hit on the mouth in Acts 23, verse 3. As a legitimate apostle and Philemon's spiritual father, it might have been easier for Paul to simply say, "Do this," rather than, "I appeal to you." Concerning the word translated appeal, the Greek is parakaleo, and it has a specific set of meanings, and it is up to the translator to seek to give the right understanding, the context determining the nuance of the word. The word's basic meaning is to encourage, and it can be used to designate the aspect of appealing to someone. In verses 9 and 10, appeal is a good translation. He said, "For love's sake, I rather appeal to you." It's a good translation because of the contrast between commanding someone to do something and instead encouraging them to do something. When somebody's commanded, there is no choice. When one is encouraged to do something, there is a choice. And in this instance, Paul is strongly asking Philemon to do something, but it stops short of an order from a legitimate authority. It is an appeal to cooperation based upon a living relationship. I'll read the verses again. "Therefore, though I have enough confidence, I have enough freedom to speak frankly in the Messiah to order you to do what is proper. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Messiah Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Paul had enough confidence in the righteousness of his authority in the Messiah towards Philemon that he might have given him authoritative instructions. To order, in this context, is to give authoritative direction. Philemon had received Jesus as his king, and this Messiah had given Paul authority which Philemon was sacredly bound to obey. Paul was within his rights to demand that Philemon comply. It would not be wrong for him to command this disciple. However, Paul rejected the use of authority to accomplish his goal. He had confidence in Philemon, too. The apostle knew that he was dealing with a man who would respond to his appeal. Philemon loved God. He was a follower of Jesus. He loved Paul. Here is an issue. People generally prefer outwardly strong leadership rather than the challenge of relating to those who only use the power of influence. Look at this sad description of God's sheep at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 to 21a, Paul wrote, "For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face, to my shame I must say that we have been weak by comparison." Paul compared himself to those who claimed a superior place of authority. They were putting Paul down. And Paul addressed the matter of leadership style and then listed his qualifications for being viewed as a legitimate apostle. Note the contrast. Paul did not enslave. His ministry freed. Paul did not devour. He fed others. Paul did not take advantage of people. He served. He did not exalt himself. He fellowshipped with his brethren and trusted God for any vindication he needed. And he did not abuse people. Rather, he built them up. And it is within this social context that Philemon was exhorted to show mercy to Onesimus. Here's another example. Let's look at how Paul related to Apollos. "But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12. Now Apollos was connected to Paul through friendship. This was more of a collegial, a peer relationship. We have no record of Apollos traveling with Paul. Apollos was definitely not a spiritual son. It seems that Apollos' connection to Paul was through Priscilla and Aquila. Acts 18, verses 25 through 28 says, "This man, Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted Jewish unbelievers in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah." This is from Acts 18, verses 25 through 28. So Apollos went from Ephesus to Achaia, where Corinth was located. The company of people associated with Paul wrote him a letter of introduction. Afterwards, Paul arrived in Ephesus and found other disciples who were in a similar spiritual state to Apollos. The point is that this man was not a part of Paul's circle, but that Paul's ministry circle sponsored him. He, Apollos, was elevated to the role of an itinerant evangelist apostle. Paul did not order. He appealed to Philemon, someone who was less closely connected, who was not on a collegial level with Paul, and he appealed to Apollos, who was seen as a peer. There was nothing heavy-handed in the way Paul related to the brethren. If he asked someone to do something, they were not bound to do it. Their cooperation was voluntary. If they chose not to respond to the appeal, they were not to be seen as being in rebellion against God himself. I encourage all of us, let's limit our legitimate authority and rather seek a much higher way, the role of the servant, appealing to people, explaining to people the best course, asking them to cooperate rather than ordering them. Now, on the other hand, if someone who has legitimate spiritual authority in our lives does order us to do that which would be helpful to the ministry and beneficial to us or others, why not do it? But if you decide that it's not the right thing to do, you are not in rebellion against God. You have a choice before the Lord as to what it is that you believe God wants you to do. Paul limited his legitimate spiritual authority, and he was an apostle. I think that those of us who are functioning on a much lower level of wisdom, authority, anointing, insight, revelation, we might take a hint from how it is that Paul related to people and also consider how we relate to others. Let us relate to those. Let us be in communication with people who are within the sphere of our influence in a loving fashion, seeking to walk out the great command of Jesus, the new commandment, that we would love others the way that he loved us. Let us take upon ourselves the role of a servant, a low-status servant, and even within the framework of our ministries, seek to wash one another's feet.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sammy Avino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.